What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter. All right. Welcome back to the show, my friend. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Got a special one for you. This is episode number 400 here on the podcast. 400 episodes. So between this podcast and my original podcast, Inside Social Media, I've now recorded 452 podcast episodes over the last 7 years. It's pretty crazy. So episode number 400 here on the Art of Online Business podcast, formerly the Art of Paid Traffic. And we thought about different ways to celebrate episode number 400 here on the show. And a lot of you have been asking, as has my team, as have my followers on Instagram, been wanting to hear from Amy, my wife, here on the podcast. So that's what we decided to do for episode number 400. And I solicited questions from all of you. We asked for questions on Instagram. My team had questions. My wife had questions. And so we dive into a lot of different things here in this episode. But this is the first time that Amy and I have ever done an episode together. And my team told me that I sounded a little bit nervous at the very beginning. It's because I am nervous about sharing this with you. Because I share a lot of stuff that I am a little uncomfortable talking about, frankly. I talk a lot today. You're going to hear a lot today about my challenges with anxiety and depression and how that's affected things. And, you know, we talk about how Amy and I met and our first impression. It's actually a pretty fun story. A lot of people love hearing that story. So if you've never heard that story, you're going to hear it today. You know, we talk about how we create work-life balance. Especially in these days of quarantine, that's always fun. I know so many of you guys can relate to that. We talk about what a typical day looks like for me. You know, what's been the hardest thing about switching from the corporate world into entrepreneurship. One of the reader questions was how long it took me to feel like I, quote, made it, or at least had it together in the business. And Amy asked me, were there ever times when I got close to throwing in the towel? And I have a hard time sharing that one because that was a very, very deep, probably the deepest point in my life, aside from my dad passing away when I was 25. And so I'm going to share that story with you here today. Something that I don't know that I've ever shared that story before publicly. So I'm a little bit nervous about that. We talk about mindset. We talk just a lot of different things here today that I've never talked about. And I also ask Amy some questions as well. Okay. So here you go. A little bit nervous to release this, but my team said it's really good. It shows a side of me that maybe you don't know that. Well, I guarantee a lot of it, you're not going to know because I haven't talked about it before, but I dive into it all here today. And I'm excited, also nervous about sharing this with you. And any feedback or whatever, please shoot me a DM on Instagram at Rick Mulready. Yeah. So without further ado, here is episode number 400 with my wife, Amy, and me. Let's do it. Welcome to the Art of Online Business podcast. My name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach, Facebook and Instagram ads expert, lifestyle entrepreneur, and I'm a total coffee snob as well. Each week, you're going to learn actionable strategies, mindsets, and tips that take the guesswork out of growing and scaling a profitable online business so that you can truly become an entrepreneur with impact. This podcast is your secret weapon for fast-tracking the growth of your online business. Let's do this. What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the podcast. Rick Mulready here. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. As you can hear, I am joined by my wife.
Hello.
Amy Clover Mulready.
He's so nervous right now.
I really am nervous. Guys, I am not nervous when it comes to podcasting, but I'm nervous today. And she's sitting next to me in our office. Maya, our daughter, is down for a nap. And this is literally the only time we have to record. And so many of you guys have been asking for her to be on the podcast.
Thanks, guys.
And I don't know why, but I've been resistant about it. I always thought that you wouldn't want to do it because you don't even like podcasts.
I don't listen to podcasts. I don't even listen to my husband's
podcast. I was just going
to
say, have you ever listened to my show?
Just when you're editing, or when you get the editing and I hear a little bit of it. I don't listen to any podcast, though, babe. It's not. Amy, if I listened to any podcast, it would be yours.
Good answer. Good answer. So in celebration of episode number 400 here on the Art of Online Business podcast, my team and I thought it would be a good idea to do a special episode number 400 for all of you. And that was to bring Amy on to interview me. And that's what I'm a little bit nervous about. And so a lot of you wrote in questions, what you want Amy to ask, or maybe, you know, for Amy and I to talk about, you know, what it's like here in the Mulready household with a 17-month-old and running a business and all that fun stuff. And Amy's an entrepreneur as well, has her own coaching business. So we'll talk about that later and what that's like. But that's how we thought we'd spend episode number 400, and just having a conversation where Amy and I go back and forth, and you guys have submitted questions. My team has submitted questions, and Amy and I also came up with some things that we thought would be really helpful to chat about. Are you ready?
I'm ready to dive in.
So, and guys, these are going to be all over the board. These are going to be kind of like some personal questions. These are going to be, you know, work related, like business related questions and how it relates to Amy and me. And so we're going to kind of go all over the board here. This is going to be a lot of fun here. So
basically it's going to be juicy.
It's going to be, well, yeah. And I basically told Amy that nothing's off limits here. So I'm an open book. And this is also, just to be completely honest and transparent with you guys, it's an effort for me to be more transparent with all of you, because a lot of you guys ask questions and you know, I have zero problem answering them, but just now I get to do it on a grander scale with all of you here on the podcast. And so,
Can I just say that I think that's a wonderful thing, babe, because we need more men talking about the real stuff, you know,
yeah,
about the stuff about being vulnerable and all of that fun stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes. Whenever I have been vulnerable on the show or in an email, I always get people responding the same way.
It makes so much sense, because there's so few people, like, sorry to interrupt you. I'm not going to do that mostly on the podcast.
Yes, you are. Your job is to interrupt me today. Continue. Carry on.
Yeah, no, I think it just makes so much sense that so many people reach out, because it's so rare to see, especially men, talking about the vulnerable stuff.
Yeah. And obviously no one knows me better than Amy, so she gets to bring that.
It's one of the reasons I love you so much. I sing a lot, fair warning.
So the first listener question, and I don't know if you want me to take this or you want to take this. And the first listener question that people wrote in was, how did we meet? What was the first impression of one another?
Why don't you go ahead and start, and I will interject and interrupt you as you go.
So how did we meet? We met in LA. You were a trainer. Amy was a trainer at Equinox.
Equinox, yeah.
In Westwood. I was a member there at Equinox. And I noticed Amy across the room one day. And Equinox has those plaques on the wall about all the trainers. And I was just curious, like, oh, who is this person? So
Wait, I think it's important, especially because there are so many women listening out mm-hmm. there, to tell a little bit about what you actually noticed. Because I remember you told me
yeah.
that you didn't just notice, like, ooh, she's hot. You noticed, like, my energy is what you said.
I noticed your big smile, like, literally across the room. And I was just like, I noticed how you interacted with your clients mm-hmm. and how bubbly you were. And, like, your personality with them. And I was like, man, like, that's such a positive energy. I loved it. And so I went home and looked you up online.
It sounds so creepy. It is a little bit creepy.
It is a little bit creepy, but
I think you just did your due diligence. You, like, made sure I wasn't a creepo myself.
I'm a very resourceful person.
You are.
And the first search result that came up was Amy's Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And this is back when they had like recommended friends or mutual friends or whatever in the upper right-hand corner. And it turned out that we had a mutual friend. And this was a girl that worked for me back at AOL back in Virginia a long time ago. And I hadn't talked to her in a few years. And so I was just like, hey, I'll just reach out to her. I was like, hey, what do you know about this Amy Clover girl? And she's like, oh my God, she's awesome, but I haven't talked to her in a while either. And I said, well, could you set us up?
And then, so she reached out to me and I barely knew her, honestly. Like, we got along really well, but she reached out to me and she's like, hey, I know this guy. And I had just broken up with somebody, or I'd been broken up with about like 6 months prior. And I was just starting to feel like, okay, I can go date again, but I'm not going to date just anyone. And so she reached out to me and she was like, hey, I've got this guy who's asking about you. And he came up as a recommended friend on Facebook, which I did not actually come up as a recommended friend. He actually went online and looked for me. But anyways, he came up as a recommended friend on Facebook. You have to wait now.
I do.
And then she was basically like, he likes you too, and he plays hockey. And I was like, I'm not interested in either of those things. And then she was like, take a look at his profile. And I looked, and gals, I'm not about all about the looks, but I looked at his photo and it was like the worst photo I've
okay, can
ever
I just
seen.
Can I just say something here real quick? So this leads into what was your first impression of one another. So, well, first of all, the picture I had was, I was at the Grove in LA. My niece, at the time, I don't remember how old she was, but she was doing like the Flat Stanley project. And Flat Stanley is just like this little, I don't know, like this colored...
is a piece of paper that nobody has any idea what it is unless you have a child or know somebody with children.
I bet teachers listening right now know what Flat Stanley is.
Totally yeah. Do. I bet.
Anyway, so I had a picture of me holding Flat Stanley at the Grove.
And it was like a really big part of your picture. So I was like, what is that creepy looking piece of paper man thing that you're holding?
I thought it was a good picture, but...
you had sunglasses on, huge sunglasses, so I couldn't see your face. And you were making this weird face. And I was like, why? If, you know, usually people pick their best picture to put up on Facebook. And I was like, if this is his best picture, I don't know.
But you took a chance.
I took a chance. Yeah. She and reached out one more time. I was like, no, I'm not interested. And she reached out and she was like, just give it a chance. Why don't you try it? And I was like, actually, at this point, I was like, okay, fine. He'll be a practice date.
Thank God for practice dates. Well, so we met for lunch.
At Coral Tree. And when I walked up, I remember when you were like, oh, hey. We'll get to that part in a second. But when you were like, oh, hey, I was like, what? This guy looks nothing like his picture. Why would he post a picture like that?
And you told me that.
So anyway, it was a lesson on not judging a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were like, oh, hey, I was like...
one. First impression, because I'd already seen you, so...
I did not know that. But then the first impression I had was that you said, oh, hey, you work at Equinox, don't you? It was a lie.
I was playing a cup. I didn't want you to run for the door right away. And then, long story short, it came up in date number 4.
Was it 4?
I think it was.
Yeah. And then you had already caught me by that.
I already won your heart. Charmed. I didn't want you to run like, four dates in.
My heart was yours.
I didn't want you to run 10 years later. Oh. For 10 years, but we've been married for what, 7 years?
2013.
Yeah, 7 years.
Yeah.
Well, almost 7 years because September.
Yeah. Wow.
So that was 10 years ago. Practice date. 10 years later, we have the most amazing daughter.
Take a chance,
here
guys.
We are. All right. The next question is that somebody wrote in is, what's been our favorite memory together?
Ooh. Well, let's see if we have different ones.
I mean, I can answer.
You go first.
I mean, outside of obviously Maya being born.
Yeah.
I would say our travels.
Yeah.
I would say Paris. What's been our is like top of the list.
Yeah.
We've been to Paris a few times. And is it your favorite city in the world? My favorite city in the world.
At this point, yeah, I think so.
But we also, like, another thing, too, that comes to mind for me is right after we got married while we were living in LA, but we're moving to San Diego and we rented out our place, put our stuff in storage. We traveled for 3 weeks for our honeymoon, but then we went and moved in with your grandparents.
Yeah.
for a month of December.
They were like, you're going to live here for a month?
And then they didn't want us to leave. And so, and that really had, that was really like, that has been one of our, my favorite memories together too.
Yeah. Because
that was a great time.
My grandparents passed away about a couple years ago now. And I'm just so glad that we got that time with them and that they got to know you so well too.
Yeah.
Totally do. I bet.
What about your favorite memory?
My favorite memory? I mean, I have so many great ones. A lot of them are definitely traveling. One of my favorite memories was when we found out I was pregnant, when we saw the pregnancy stick together.
Yeah.
Because it was such a genuine like explosion of joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite ones too.
Yeah. I remember that distinctly.
Yeah.
I think we already answered this. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite place that we've ever traveled?
You've probably heard the saying, if you want to make money, serve people. If you want to make a lot of money, serve lots of people. But how do you do that when you're already super short on hours in your day? So if you're on my email list already, then you know that I'm speaking at the Platform and Profit Summit. It's 100% free, and it's a 3-day virtual summit to help you better position yourself and your brand to create even more partnership and profits. Plus, in addition to discussing Facebook ads, I'll also be speaking on a panel called Positioning Yourself and Business for More Connections and Collaborations. Like, if you've ever wondered how I'm meeting all of these cool guests that are appearing on this podcast, that you're just getting so much knowledge and info from, well, I'll be sharing that during that panel too. And it all starts May 1st. That's this Wednesday in a few days. Because, well, what if you could quit funding all of your events and projects and launches out of pocket and learn how to leverage the power of sponsorships? And I love this because I hate theory. I never did well with theory in school. I just like practical, actionable advice from people who are actually doing it right now, not what worked for them like 5 years ago. So like, what if you could generate consistent cash flow for your business or increase income while also reaching your lifestyle goals? You know, that reason that you started the business in the first place. Like, what if you could build credibility and influence while creating consistent partnerships and profit to grow your business? Me and about 30 other expert trainers, are going to share our strategies to help you create partnerships and profits, plus the mistakes that we've made so you can avoid them. And I can't stress this too much. This is what's working now, not last year, not the year before, but what we all are doing in our businesses now. So you ready to finally have more partnerships and profit in your online business? Use the link below to register for free. The Platform and Profit Virtual Summit. It's a 3-day free, 100% free summit. And it starts this Wednesday, May 1st. Learn how to better position yourself and create an even better partnerships so you can finally create the profits you desire in your business. I can't wait to see you there. Chat soon. All right, back to the episode.
Yeah, I think Paris is our favorite place. Yeah. I loved traveling to New York with you too, though. Especially showing you New York, because I used to live in New York and I finally got to show it to Rick and he didn't really like it before I showed it to him.
Well, that's true, because I used to go there when I was in the corporate world. I used to go to New York quite a bit. I think I've been there like 6 or 7 times before we met and I didn't like New York. I was just, no. And it really wasn't until the first time that we went together, because you lived there, you kind of gave me the lay of the land and how things worked and like where things are. And then I started to love it. Now I love it.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to go back and take Maya there.
That's actually the next question that somebody asks is along those lines, where are you most looking forward to traveling with Maya? Where would you say?
Ooh, there's so many places. I mean, for everybody out there who doesn't know this, I am huge into Disney. And Rick is not at all.
Not at all.
But I can't wait to take her to like Disneyland. But okay, so anywhere in the world though?
Well, no, I mean, not necessarily. Where are you most looking forward to traveling with her?
I'm really looking forward to going back to Paris with her. But everywhere, really everywhere. I'm looking forward to going places we've never been with her.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to taking her to Paris and London.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be so great. Taking her to afternoon tea. I can't wait for that. Sorry, everyone else.
All right. Shifting gears a little bit into like personal, but yet still work stuff or business stuff. Well, why don't you ask this question? Because this was a listener question. And I think it was, well, it's for both of us. Right.
Yeah. It's around. I think it has to do with what we're going to get into here, too. Like, there's a lot of work questions.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really cool to be able to visit this from both sides of it. But how do you create work-life balance was the next question.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw this question, I was like, what's that? Yeah. But I think there
what's balance?
What is balance? That's like a lot of what I do, though. But I think it is a really important question. And it's, I think it's ever changing and evolving. So,
well, especially now. Mm-hmm. Because we're recording this on today's May 28th, and we've been at stay-at-home orders for 2.5 months now.
Yeah.
So just like so many of you, you know, everything that our day-to-day routine has been thrown, you know, out the window. We normally have somebody come over and help us with Maya a few days a week. That hasn't happened in a few months, so that changes things. I'm working from home, which isn't different, but you know, Amy works from home also, so we have, just like all of you guys,
and
right?
I'm full-time mommying at the same time.
Yeah, and running your coaching, you know, mm-hmm. so creating work-life balance looks a little bit different now than it normally does, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about this, but the biggest thing for me personally in creating that is just trying to have set boundaries of, all right, I'm going to finish at this time during the day, and then shift into dad and husband.
You've been doing so well with that, by the way. You weren't always good at it, was the thing.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
A lot better at it.
Yeah. And then just, you know, and taking breaks during the day and, you know, going for walks with Maya in the afternoon and stuff like that. But do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think that also setting boundaries in your conversation as, you know, a married couple beyond when work is happening, I think that's something that we established pretty early in our relationship because we're both entrepreneurs. We weren't actually both kind of entrepreneurs when we first met each other, mm-hmm. but we'll talk about that in a little bit too.
Yeah.
But it's something we've had to learn that we can't talk about work all the time. Otherwise, like our actual personal relationship gets lost in it.
Yeah.
And there's no respite basically from work.
And that's hard for me because I'll talk business all day, 24/7.
Yeah, and I'm a coach. So what I do is listen. And I'm like, let me try to help you with this. And it's like, then I'm working.
That's one thing that we've had to learn in our communication is, wait, is this coach Amy talking?
Yeah.
Or wife Amy talking?
We actually and literally have to say that.
Yeah, vice versa. Like I said, how do you want me to support you with this?
And I appreciate that. It's like cleared up so much for us.
But it's been a process though.
It has, yeah. Definitely.
Because both of us would immediately go into...
We're both fixers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I should say, and it took a while for me to realize that you didn't necessarily always want to talk business.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to talk funnels.
I very rarely want to talk funnels.
Or team or anything like that. It's completely different. And guys, Amy's the one that like I go to when... Because I'm more like, let's keep driving forward. But if there is, you know, a decision I need to make that's more, this is going to sound funny because it makes me sound cold, but I'm not. But if there's like a heart-centered decision that I need to make and I want a softer perspective, you're the one I'll go to for that.
I'm definitely the empathy balancer sometimes.
Yeah, no, all the time. And that's why like I love being able to talk to you about that stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're getting into some questions that you're going to fire my way.
Yeah, I'm going to take over here. So we're getting into work questions, and a lot of these are mixed up, both questions I came up with for you and listener questions. So a lot of people want to hear what a typical day looks like for you. And I kind of know that it's just chaos in the morning is basically how morning starts. Well, we kind of have a routine in our chaos, but especially lately with the lockdown, like it's been really tough. And so one thing that's wonderful that you help me do, because I'm full-time momming while working, I have no time basically to myself throughout the day, is you make sure I get to do my workouts 3 times a week on set days, Tuesday mm-hmm. mornings, Thursday mornings, Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
You give me that time. But that means you don't have very much time to prepare for your day on those days before getting into your work.
Yeah.
But what does a typical day look like for you beyond that chaos in the morning?
The early morning part has definitely changed, as you know. Like, it's like before Maya and after Maya.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I'm an early morning riser, and I do like to dive into work stuff early morning because that's my magic time. That's my brain is most engaged and most focused. But since, you know, with Maya, things have definitely changed. So generally, I'll start taking calls and working on stuff somewhere 8:30 to 9. And then I'll finish up around 4, maybe 5 o'clock. And how I've set my schedule up now is Mondays and Thursdays are my calls and meetings days. So I only do calls and meetings on Mondays and Thursdays. Tuesday and Wednesday are like my content creation days. So I might be doing podcasts, I might be doing programs or, you know, doing video or what have you. And then Friday is kind of an open catch-all day that I will just like if like catch up on things or have white space or I'm learning or I'm like stuff I didn't get to during the week or for what have you. That's kind of how I set it up. And Mondays and Thursdays are pretty packed with calls and coaching calls and team calls and just other types of stuff that I might be working on. But we moved in January, so I have my office here on the first floor. And I take breaks every now and then. I go, you know, just come upstairs and hang out with you guys for a little bit, grab some food. But I think everybody knows, like, that I've talked about, I'm very introverted. So I actually like just the getting into the work and stuff like that. But one thing I am working on is moving some stuff around as far as times go. Like, I have been... So Amy just mentioned that she works out Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, Saturday. I'm also, right now, I've been covering, you know, giving you a break in the afternoons on Tuesdays and Thursdays, covering taking care of Maya. So I've been kind of moving my times around to like work out and stuff like that. And I actually do better if I work out like late morning before lunch. Whereas in the past, I've been doing it later in the afternoon, which I'm pretty tired by that point. But it's just kind of like, you know, I kind of constantly... in trying to change and test new things. But the big thing for me as far as a typical day though is scheduling things on the calendar. Like if it's on there, it's going to get done and I'm pretty lost if I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think it's important to mention too on Fridays that you try to take that day early.
Yeah, I try to do a half day on Friday. I'm working towards taking Friday completely off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm in the process of growing my team again and all that stuff, and so Friday generally, yeah, a half day, and I'm chilling out in the afternoon.
Yeah, and it's really wonderful that you give me those breaks on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Just for now, hopefully.
For sanity's sake.
Yeah. This next question is more one I came up with, actually, because I met you when you were in the corporate world, which was a totally different animal.
Yeah.
With totally different worries and different feelings. So what has been the hardest thing? And well, what's it been like, and what's been the hardest thing about switching from a corporate job into entrepreneurship? It's a big question.
It is a big question. Because I can go from like early on, after I left the corporate world, it was a shock, right? It's just like, this is what I wanted, but oh yeah, I'm responsible for everything mm-hmm. now. And revenue and all this stuff is completely dependent on me. And so it was a big transition from that point.
Tell us a little bit about how you felt when you were in the corporate world. What pushed you to make that transition?
I got tired of kissing butts of junior planners in the agency space, ad agency space, because I was selling online advertising. And I hated the fact that my success was dependent on like what kind of mood they were in. We're going to have to bleep that out.
Nice people.
Like, yeah, I mean, they just had complete attitude. And like, if you weren't one of their favorites, like they didn't talk to you. And I'm just like, I just felt like high school.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. So I was just like, I don't want my revenue and the money that I made, because I was paid on, I had a base salary plus commission. Like that commission was totally dependent on my sales. Yeah. And I did really well. I was really, really good in the corporate world, but it just got to a point where I got tired of playing that game.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do my own thing. I remember, you know, talk about one of the early conversations that Amy and I had. I would come home and I would just like complain about stuff, and it got to a daily thing.
And it was the same thing every day.
And it was the same thing. Yeah. And so that's really why I wanted to do my own thing. And, you know, after I left the corporate world, so I left the fall of 2012, when I left the corporate world, then it was like awesome, I'm going to go do my own thing. But then when I did it, I was like, what am I doing?
This is hard.
Yeah, this is a lot harder than what I thought it was. And this is back in 2013, 7 years ago. And I fumbled around until January 2014. And that's when things started to gain some momentum. Mm-hmm. I got this question from somebody the other day. I think the hardest thing was within those first few years, I always kept one foot in the possibility of going back to corporate world.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, if this doesn't work out, I can always go back. And it's not really until you cut that cord and say, I'm all in on making this happen, that things really started to change. I also had this false notion that I had more job security in the corporate world.
Yeah. And it's just wild and heartbreaking to see how untrue that is now.
Yeah. Because you can go in on a Thursday and someone can say, well, you're done tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it took me a few years to realize that I have way more security because I control what we're doing from the business aspect, as opposed to being, you know, and nothing against corporate world, guys. Like, you've heard me say this, you know, a bunch, is like, it just wasn't for me. I just didn't enjoy it. Now, if you ask me, did I enjoy my years, say, like at AOL back in the early, I loved it.
I love it. You worked at AOL.
Back in the dial-up days, like the disk days. I had a blast. It was so much. This is like back in the Wild West days, the internet. I loved it. But then as time went on, it's like, all right, that's enough. So anyway, that's been the hardest thing about switching.
Yeah. Well, how long did it take you to feel like you actually like made it, or at least had it together in your business?
Do I ever feel like that?
I mean, it's a constant work in progress.
You know, like the whole made it thing is, it's all subjective.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, when I hit seven figures in the first 4 years, like that was amazing.
Yeah.
And that was a goal that I had. But then it was like when I hit it, and I'm not discounting it or minimizing it in any way, but it was like, okay, what's next? Like, all right, did that 4 years. Cool. Amazing. But like, what's next?
That can kind of be an insidious mindset too, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Because like nothing ever becomes enough.
Yeah.
That is one thing I struggle with, is like, never enough, never enough.
Well, it's something you're definitely working on, and you've made a lot of progress in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. For that. I love you. I
love you. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that first 4 years, we hit seven figures. I felt like, quote unquote, I made it, and then had it together in the business. There's always something to improve, I think, and systematize and make better and make more efficient and stuff like that. So I would say we've had it together enough to do so well and from a revenue perspective, but I think there's always changes and improvements we can be making.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Were there ever times that you felt like throwing in the towel?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, probably get emotional talking about this, but I'll never forget that time we had that conversation in our house in Mission Hills. When we first moved down to San Diego, we had a small, it was 700 square foot, one bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. And you and I were both working out of that.
In basically the den of another person's house.
Yeah. It was like, what do they call it? Like an in-law suite?
Yeah, I think so.
It was this apartment in the back of somebody's house. Mm-hmm. And the people who owned the house were awesome. We're still friends with them.
Yeah.
But we had both of our desks, our quote office was in the living room. And I know that so many of you, I talked to a lot of you guys listening, right? And you guys completely can relate to this. But we had both of our desks in the living room. We both were taking calls all the time. And we had to schedule, all right, when are you doing a call? When am I doing a call?
Yeah, especially because mine were coaching calls and they like were private coaching calls. So I was like, get out.
Yeah. And I'm doing interviews and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just, so this was back in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2015. And this is back when I was working evenings. I was working hard. And like, wasn't feeling like I was miserable.
Yeah.
And I wasn't happy with anything and just working really hard, not feeling the results of how hard I was working. So you guys have heard me talk about like, maybe you haven't, but I have eczema. So I've had eczema my entire life, and stress definitely exacerbates it. And I remember, I'll never forget, I just broke down one day and my eczema was so bad and I was super stressed out. I was miserable, and our relationship, I think, was being affected by it.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time I told you that I didn't want to go on.
Yeah.
Like, not even like throwing in the towel on the business, throwing in the towel, period.
Yeah.
And we just had a really deep conversation about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I'm so glad that you could actually talk to me about that instead of just holding it in. So many people are so scared to say that it just gets worse and worse and worse, you know?
Yeah. And I know we're going to talk about this too. And you guys have heard me talk about it here on the show, but I've had a challenge of anxiety and depression. Well, depression later in life, but anxiety certainly since like seventh grade, mm-hmm. up and down. When I left the corporate world, the anxiety definitely did spike.
Yeah.
It came to a head there in 2015 where things got really dark, but Amy's been an amazing support then and obviously through now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's really important to me because I've also struggled with both those things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like the mental illness jackpot.
The mental illness jackpot. It's
like, for anybody who doesn't know really like what I do and stuff, I talk a lot about depression, anxiety, OCD, eating disorders. Like I really do a lot of advocacy for this kind of thing. So I'm really an open book about this kind of stuff too. But yeah, it's a really serious thing when somebody starts talking about that. And I'm so glad that we're able to communicate and that you were man enough to like say, I need help.
Mm, you know? Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about your, what
we
your,
will.
What
I
your,
just, no, I wanted no, people to know from yeah. like, you
and
know,
that's,
what I'm talking about.
That adds additional context to like, well, is this, do you want Coach Amy or do you want Wife Amy right now? Yeah.
Well, this is the last question. And I think it's the last question as far as like, nope, there's more. Just kidding. If you could go back and change just one thing about your journey to where you are in your business now, what would you change?
I would have gotten coaching sooner.
Yeah, that really changed everything for you.
Yeah. So I wouldn't have fumbled around for 15 months.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I wasn't selling anything. I had no direction. And so I basically looked at it as wasted 15 months and I blew through a lot of savings. Mm. And so that's hands down, I would have gotten coaching quicker.
No time is ever wasted.
See, this is the kind of feedback.
Coach Amy?
Yes.
Would you like Wife Amy?
Exactly.
That one's both.
Yeah.
Well, what was the single most impactful mindset shift that you made in the way you relate to success in your business? This is my kind of question right here.
What's the single most impactful mindset shift? It's such a good question. Like we could do a whole episode about this.
Yeah,
like
totally.
Just this in and of itself.
I would listen to that podcast.
You would?
Maybe.
No, you wouldn't. Maybe on 15x speed to get through it in 5 minutes. The single most impactful mindset shift that I made in the way that I relate to success in the business. I think that when I hit seven figures and it was like, okay, now what? Yeah. And again, I'm not minimizing that, but, and this is something that I do so much of in my coaching in our accelerator program. I ask what people's goals are and, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's they want to have a seven-figure business. And that's awesome. And I help them do that. But I also want them to be clear on why that's important. And what I want to sort of break the mindset or question the mindset is because so many people hear that you've made it at seven figures, I want them to do it for them. I want them to do it for why it's important to them, not because what somebody else says you've made it at seven figures.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the biggest mindset shift that I had regarding quote unquote success.
Making it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because success could mean like, I want to be able to go to the movies on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. every week. Mm-hmm. I want to make enough money to support the family.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that. Cool. Well, you don't need to make $1 million to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear from a lot of people too, like a lot of my students come to me and say, I want my business to thrive enough to be able to retire my spouse. Yeah. Like I hear that a lot. I'm like, cool. Like, but what does that look like for you? You know?
Yeah. Get specific with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the biggest mindset shift.
Cool. Let's move into kind of the personal side of things. What's been the hardest thing in this last glorious, amazing, magical year and a half of our Maya Josephine's life? What's it been like being a new dad and also running a business basically by yourself?
Yeah, it hasn't been easy. Obviously, there's been a huge transition with me learning how to be a dad. And I mean, I'm always going to be learning that. But I think just wanting to spend time with her, but also like, hey, you know, running a business over here as well. And I have talked about it here, guys. I have a small team. We're growing the team now. But I have had a small team and I've wanted it that way. And so I'm very much involved in a lot of things, and we're expanding and growing. And so that's changing. But at the same time, since Maya was born, it has been a huge transition. And, you know, especially because I work from home, and like so many of you guys can relate who have kids at home and you're working from home. You know, for a while I did have an outside, I was like at WeWork and stuff like that. But when I'm at home and hearing her run around or hearing her cry, like I want to be there.
Or try to open your door. She does that a lot.
She comes in during coaching calls. That's okay. You know, it's just wanting to be there, but also at the same time, like knowing that I have the business to run and everything like that. So it has definitely been a transition. And frankly, it's still a work in progress, but we've done, like we talked about earlier, we have set good boundaries. I think the biggest thing, honestly, is, and we have talked about on the show too a lot, and I talk to a lot of students that go through this as well, it's that transition time from work to, okay, dad, husband, I almost said wife, dad, husband time, where it takes me a while to do that.
That's been like an interesting work in progress for you, like for a while now too, is like trying to find something that helps you transition from work to now I'm home, because you're at home. So that's really tough. And I bet a lot of listeners probably have that same kind of struggle.
Yeah. And it was different in the corporate world because I was like in the car and driving, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to chill out for the next 30 minutes, especially in LA. Like I had a commute.
And it's like so much easier to be like, okay, these are my business. This is the business's problems. They're not my problems as soon as I leave that door.
Correct.
Whereas like you go upstairs and you're like, this is still my best. Something I'm thinking about all the time.
Yeah, my brain doesn't shut off.
Yeah.
And so I am thinking, and that's something I'm constantly working on, is like shutting off. And I have mentors that I have coaches myself. And so I'm much better than I used to be, but it's something, frankly, I still struggle with, because I literally open my door, go up the stairs, and boom, there I am. And like I said, like so many of you guys listening can relate to that, where it's, you're at a snap of a finger, you're transitioning from either business to home life or home life into business. And that's not an easy transition. So one thing I am doing, just not to speak about the problem, but one thing I am doing is at the end of my day, again, having a set stop time, I'm doing a brain dump at the end of the day into a notebook and just getting everything out of my head. Or I have a whiteboard here in the office, so I'll just write stuff down. And just so I get it out of my head, and that sort of tells my brain, okay, it's time to shift. But again, it's still work in progress as well.
Yeah. I know we already talked about it a little bit, but maybe we should talk about it a little bit more, because I think there's so many layers to anxiety, especially as an entrepreneur. And I know you've talked about it a lot on your podcast and on social media before, but I think that there are deeper parts of it than maybe listeners would want to hear. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you struggled with it as a kid and how you've worked through it to where you are today?
Yeah. So I actually just fairly recently in my life, I say recently, the past few years, kind of like dated it back, if you will, to about seventh grade. And that was the first time that I remember like really feeling that anxiety. And I grew up in a small town in New Hampshire. My high school was, I think, like 1,200 total. But then I, you know, get out to here to California and like one grade is 1,200 people. But so, and a part of it too was like, I went to a Catholic grade school where there was one class for each grade and it was like 20 kids or whatever. And then I transitioned into quote unquote the big high school and my class was like 350 people or whatever. And so that was just, it just really worsened my anxiety and worry and stuff like that. And it was just like, I look back on it now and it was just, everything was centered on the future, like yeah. Anxious about the future, worrying about the future. My dad was always that rock for me and that positive source of influence. My mom is too, but my dad was really that person for me. And then my dad died when I was 25 of colon cancer. And so I lost that piece of that aspect of my life of having that person. And that was a huge void and still is, frankly. It always has been. It's like a roller coaster. It goes up and down. And so for all of you guys anybody who struggles with this sort of thing, you know that it comes and goes. And yeah, when I left the corporate world to do my own thing, it definitely spiked. And, you know, I talked to a lot of entrepreneur friends who have very successful businesses who experience the same kind of thing, but that
most of them do.
Most do, but don't, it's not something that gets talked about, yeah. right? Like
you have to have it all together.
Yeah. And so I do think it's something that should be talked about more. And the fact that you can have challenges with these sorts of things while still building an incredibly successful business yeah. and helping a ton of people around the world.
It can exist while also all this other goodness is happening.
It's, yeah.
It can be both.
And I think the key thing there I found is that when you're experiencing that, still moving forward and taking action in spite of fear, anxiety, or whatever, that's really where the growth comes from.
That's beautiful.
I was going to say, mic drop.
I meant to tell you, speaking of your dad, by the way, I was out on a walk with Maya today, and she was sifting around in the gravel, and she pulled out a coin.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
My dad was saying hi.
Oh, that's your grandpa saying hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of those things, like, whenever we find a penny or what have you, that was something that my dad always did, so.
And then she threw it into the flower bushes and waved to it. It was so adorable. Awesome.
That's amazing.
I was like, let's keep that for your dad. Oh, no. Okay.
Okay. See you later.
Oh, this is like a random question. I think it's actually from a listener. Can we talk about your coffee snobbery a little bit? And how...
It's your fault.
It is my fault. Well, that was what I was going to ask you. How did it originate?
We went from really deep and serious to we're lightening it up a little bit.
There was no transition there.
No, I like that.
I am not a podcaster.
We're getting to the end here of this.
Let's lighten it up.
Yeah. Well, I'm a definite coffee snob. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even a coffee drinker until I met you.
Yep.
And
my fault.
We used to go to Pete's Coffee in Brentwood mm-hmm. together.
And then that wasn't enough.
Well, I love Pete's actually because I like dark roast, bold coffee. Yeah, like that's how it started. My parents weren't coffee drinkers, they're tea drinkers. And I love coffee.
Yeah, and there's like kind of a lack of independent coffee shops around where we are. There's one.
Yeah.
There's like a couple.
Yeah.
And that's just the one thing that's not so great about where we live now.
We live in the suburbs now.
Yeah.
And we live in like neighborhoody, and we used to live pretty much downtown in San Diego, just mm-hmm. outside downtown. And there was... My favorite coffee shop ever is James Coffee.
I love it.
So now I have James sent to me every month in the mail.
I miss our James Coffee people.
But we got you a Nespresso machine.
We did.
Recently.
Well, because my coffee snobbery died down. When I got pregnant, I couldn't drink coffee. I couldn't be around it. I couldn't smell it. Like when you made it, I was like, oh, yeah. No.
I was like, well, I'm not stopping drinking coffee.
No. And then like it started wearing off and I went to decafs for a long time. And then she turned one and I started drinking half calves. And just recently I started full calves again. And now I'm starting to get back into it.
Well, you just didn't want to go through the process of like grinding beans and doing the espresso machine, which is what I love to do. And you're like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
So we got the Nespresso machine.
It's pretty good.
It's not. It literally makes my stomach sick. It's terrible. It's awful. I'm glad you like it, but I'll stick to my good beans.
I like it. And it also takes like 30 seconds to make.
I do like that. But I mean, sometimes I enjoy the process. Other times I'm just like, I just want the coffee.
Yeah.
So I do want to wrap up, but I want to talk real quick about your brand and Strong Inside Out.
Me?
Yes. This is episode number 400 we're celebrating today. So what is Strong Inside Out? What kind of coaching do you do?
Well, Strong Inside Out is a place where we basically champion. I don't know how to get it close to the mic.
I just pushed her. I just got it close. Like, let's get it closer to the mic.
I feel like I'm going to eat it.
That's
I'm like
so much
hitting
better
it
right
with
there.
My mouth.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, Strong Inside Out is a place where we help people build individual health and release shaming metrics and body standards that are made basically in general terms instead of individual terms. And we believe that health is a very highly individual thing. So we talk a lot about, you know, breaking body stigma. We talk a lot about preventing eating disorders. We talk a lot about movement from a heart-centered place rather than I should do this place. It's basically a place where we take diet culture and all the shoulds out of your diet mm-hmm. and movement and basically make it more for you and more of a loving thing for your body and yourself rather than I should do this in order to be what somebody told me I need to be.
And how do you help people? Like specifically?
I do coaching and I have online courses.
And what are like some of the transformations that people are coming to you for through what you just explained? Someone might coach with you to do what?
An easy way to say it is that I basically help people uninstall diet culture from their health programming. So a lot of us have been conditioned with this extreme fitness culture and this diet culture mindset that we need to be all or nothing, or these really extremes that, like, if I'm going to eat healthy, it has to be completely quote unquote clean. Or if I'm going to move, I have to move at this recommended amount in order for it to be enough. And it's basically a lot of enoughness centered. And what a lot of people don't realize is that they're actually searching for enoughness in themselves, not enoughness in a way. Like, they don't know that the actions that they're taking are never going to fill that hole inside of them that they're trying to fill. So that's a lot of what we do. Is a lot of my coaching is centered around basically becoming aware of where your conditioning has brought you to feel like that lack of fulfillment and that lack of enoughness, and how we can start to fill that void while also kind of reframing all of the behaviors and mindsets around your health that are keeping you back from happiness.
I love this because, like, hardly anybody approaches it this way and just flat out get results for people.
Very few, except for a lot of eating disorder therapists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
There are some people doing really great work in the movement space and stuff. Like, there's a really great site called The Become Project that I really admire. And I love a lot of movement that's also tailored to your emotional center as well, like The Class by Taryn Toomey, which is really amazing. Mm-hmm. But there are very few people talking about kind of movement and health from this place of heart-centeredness instead of just the shoulds.
Well, like I've been telling you for a while, I think it's time for you to start a podcast.
Yeah, well, we're seeing how I don't know how to talk into a mic, but I do like hearing myself talk.
Where can people find out more? StrongInsideOut.com.
Mm-hmm, StrongInsideOut.com. You can check out my coaching, StrongInsideOut.com/coaching. And you can follow me on Instagram. I'm there all the time. I'm also on Facebook. But basically, let's be real. My Facebook page is just my Instagram. So just follow me on Instagram. I'm much more responsive there.
@StrongInsideOut.
Yes.
Love
that's
it.
That's me.
Baby, thank you so much for doing this with me.
I'm so glad I
got to be on here for you. Celebrating 400 episodes.
400.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too.
Whew, we made it. Hey, my friend, if you're a course creator, you're an online coach, or maybe you have a membership program and you're ready to optimize your online business towards seven figures. You're already doing at least 5K a month in your business, but you're not sure what you should be doing to be optimizing your business to seven figures, then I want to invite you to apply for my newly up-leveled Accelerator Coaching Program. If you feel overwhelmed, if you feel confused about next steps in your business, if you're stuck in a pattern of unreliable and inconsistent monthly revenue, and you're doing all the stuff in your business, I'm going to be straight with you right now. What you think is keeping you from growing your business is not actually the problem. Because simply fixing things like your systems, or split testing a new landing page, or organizing your calendar, or, you know, starting a new ad or hiring more support is not going to solve the root challenges. Making the transition from what I call the stuck online entrepreneur to what I call the optimized CEO means you've got to do three things. Optimize your mindset, optimize how and where you spend your time in your business, and optimize how you look at generating revenue. Accelerator is about thinking differently and bigger about your business, your team, your funnels, your ads, your vision, so that you can create more freedom in your life, so that you can be on a path to seven figures and you can have a bigger impact. Okay? Because continuing on the same path that you're doing right now is not going to deliver the results that you want down the road. If you want your business to look different, if you want your life to look different as a result, you've got to start thinking and acting like an optimized CEO. Okay, so again, if you're an online expert and you're averaging a minimum of 5K a month in your online business, but you're now stuck, you're unsure of what to do to grow your business without working harder, and you need help optimizing your business to put it on a path to seven figures, you know that you need to get more strategic with how you grow your business, but you're not totally sure what next steps to take, then I want to invite you to apply for my Accelerator Coaching Program. Again, it's application only. So to learn more and apply, go to rickmulready.com/accelerator. Again, it's rickmulready.com/accelerator. All right, my friend, thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 400 today. Super appreciate you. I've got coming up next week, we've got part two of my interview with Pat Flynn, where we're going to be diving into more advanced email marketing strategies coming up in part 2 of that interview. I'll see you right back here for the next episode here on the Art of Online Business podcast.
Don't forget to head down to the show notes below and register for the Platform and Profit Summit that starts May 1st, this Wednesday, where you're going to hear just practical advice that's working right now, this year in 2024, not in years past, right? Like how to build a 90-day evergreen funnel that actually works. Presented by Corinne Crabtree. Heard of her? How about minimalist marketing? How to get more eyes on your business by doing less? Or what about 5 simple website fixes to get more clients? I'm not going to read through all of these good talks and strategy sessions, but what you got to take away is this is not theory. It's what's working in people's business. These experts that are speaking, they're sharing the good stuff, behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, I'll be speaking there too on a panel about how to position yourself and your business for more connections and collaborations, because really it's partnering and collaborating with people that brings authority, that brings in steady revenue and profit into my business. So I want you guys to learn and take away strategies and tips and tricks and real systems that you can put to work in your business right now. That link is in the show notes below. Sign up is 100% free, but it does start May 1st. That's in a couple days from now, and I'll see you there. Take care. Bye.